Blog Talk Radio.
Andrew, hello, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mike. How are you doing?
Doing excellent. Is there anything to talk about this week, or are we just going to sit here for the next, like, hour and 15 minutes twiddling our thumbs?
I think it's a twiddle night. We haven't had one in a while. There's nothing going on.
Just do a couple twiddling. Couple challenges and then maybe get on the road.
No. On tonight, yep.
I'm sure people aren't going to want to talk about, like, you know, all that backstage BS that's been going on and who's been getting kicked out of buildings and who has. I'm sure it won't be a topic of conversation whatsoever. Or, like, people getting arrested. I mean,
yeah.
That hasn't happened, like, over the last, you know, 48 hours. So
yeah.
I'm sure nobody's going to want to talk about any of that stuff.
I don't think so. I think they want to hear about our twiddling method, so.
Yes, I agree. But I guess we'll start with, Cash Wheeler getting brought to court. Maybe pointing a gun at somebody in a road rage incident. I mean, that's completely normal behavior, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a little out there, but yeah, that's not good. That's not good at all.
Wait. You mean to tell me you've never got angry at another driver on the road and pointed a pistol at them? You've never done that?
Gosh. Maybe I'm the weird one, but I haven't.
I just thought we've all done that.
Somebody cuts you off. Yeah, you chase them down, show them that you're caring.
Yeah. Yeah, again, completely normal and rational behavior. So that happened, what, Friday? He was in court on Friday. I think the news kind of broke on Saturday, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I guess I have a couple of questions, and it's probably the same questions you have, and we don't know answers to any of them. But Cash Wheeler gets arrested for, what was the charge? Aggravated assault?
Aggravated assault, I believe, yeah.
Deadly weapon or something? I don't know if the deadly weapon term was in there or not, but still. Not good. Not great. You know, not a great look. I mean, granted, he did not physically assault anybody, which is good. I guess.
Yeah.
Still, though, pointing a dude at a guy because you got mad at him in traffic. Not the best thing to do. Apparently, it happened weeks ago. It was, like, beginning of July or sometime in July.
Yeah.
And the charges were formally filed on Friday. He made a court appearance. He bonded out. He has no travel restrictions, so he is able to travel. There was a question about whether or not he'd be able to get into the UK with a pending charge. So I don't know if that. I mean, he hasn't been convicted, so I don't know. I mean, that wouldn't keep him out. He hasn't been convicted because he hasn't been tried yet. But I believe I read this today, and I'm not going to pretend to know the immigration laws of the United Kingdom, but I think that they could keep him out of the country on a pending charge.
Oh, interesting.
I think, and I don't know if that's the case. I'm going to readily admit that. It was just something that I read today, that there is some sort of language that they may be able to keep him out on a pending charge. I mean, the other question is, should he be going to travel at all? I guess we'll start there. Should Tony continue to even promote this match, or do you just do what I think would be typical in other settings of other pro sports, where you put him on the sideline, you pay him, innocent until proven guilty, you pay him, but you put him on the sideline until there's an outcome, and then you can either bring him back or suspend him or fire him permanently, you know, based on what that outcome is. But it seems like normal circumstances for a situation like this, whether it was the NFL or the NBA or whatever, would be, we're going to put the guy on paid leave pending the outcome of the investigation and or trial or whatever. Because you're not going to suspend the guy without pay. He hasn't been convicted yet, and that's fine. But does that seem like it's the appropriate course of action here if you're Tony Khan?
I mean, it's a pretty serious charge. So, yeah, I think probably the moral thing to do is to not let him go and just suspend him he'd not let him back on TV until after his case, because it certainly sounds pretty damning for him at the moment. I don't have all the details, like, of course. The other thing, too, is, and maybe this is – maybe I'm jumping ahead, so let me know. But, like, I think it also depends when Cash told them.
Like, well, that was going to be one of my questions.
Okay. Yeah, so we can get into that.
If, you know, when or if he told them.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't look good either way. Either he didn't tell them, in which case I think Tony has a right to be pissed and probably keep him off the show altogether.
100%.
So that doesn't look good on Cash. But, you know, I would sit there and say, you know, I'm not going to put AEW to blame or call AEW to task for that. I put blame on them. They didn't know. Or if Cash Wheeler did, or Daniel Wheeler, whatever, I think that's his real name, did tell Tony Khan, hey, look, this happened. I'm under the assumption that he knew he was being investigated for this once it happened. I'm assuming the cops maybe questioned him at some point before they just showed up and arrested him. So he either didn't tell them, which looks bad on him, or he did tell them, and Tony continued to go, it's fine, and continued to book the match and then promote the match, and that looks bad on Tony. Either way, someone looks bad here.
Yeah, if it's the first, the former, like, I think you let Cash go. Like,
if he didn't tell them.
Yeah, if he didn't tell them. I
wrote that on Twitter on Saturday. I said if he did not tell them, I think that's a fireable offense. Yeah.
You get rid of him. Like, jeopardizing this match, jeopardizing the biggest show that they've ever done, just like – and this has hit, like, a lot of, like, mainstream news sites as well. It looks terrible for the company, and it's during a time especially – I mean, this is way beyond what Punk has done, obviously. Like, Punk didn't pull out a gun on anyone. But, like, you know, they've been in such, like, a bad – news cycle the past couple of weeks, and just to like throw this on top of it, you let him go. And if it's the other way around, then like I think a lot less of Tony. Like,
I know, unfortunately, and it just look. I mean, taking the real world elements out of it from a wrestling standpoint, like to me this sucks because they were the tag team that I enjoyed watching the most.
Yeah.
I think that they're the best tag team in the company, and you're going to lose a top act, you know? So it's not great timing from the company standpoint. Obviously, that I don't mean to discount the real-world element here of some guy in traffic got a gun pointed at him and
right,
probably
yeah.
was pretty afraid.
Yeah.
I would be too. But it's just like you said, I mean, this is a – you're going into the biggest show the company's ever done, and it's like, the timing could not be worse. And I'm sure, and I've not read ahead in our emails, or we don't know what our callers are going to say either. However, I am sure that there are, because I read this, I know that there are people out there that are going to say, oh, well, you know, it's no big deal. He shouldn't be punished. There's going to be AEW fans that make that argument. And my counter to that would be, if this was not Cash Wheeler, okay, if this was, I don't know, pick your guy. If this was Matt Riddle pointing a gun at somebody, would you, and you're an AEW, because there's been, it's so polarizing, some of this stuff between among wrestling fans. You're an AEW fan who hates WWE, you're a WWE fan who hates AEW. There's big segments of the audience that are those people. If you're an AEW fan and you're just a hardcore and you hate WWE, if this was Matt Riddle pointing a gun at somebody in a road rage incident, would you be saying, oh, it's no big deal, he's fine? Or would you be saying, this is just another example of how they're out of control and he needs to be fired, and if they didn't fire him, this is the case of they don't care. This isn't hard. And the argument I made, and I'm interested if you agree, like I said, if this was the Khan family's NFL team instead of their wrestling organization, if this was a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars who it came out was arrested for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, that guy's not going to be around. You know, they're not going to cut him, but he's going to be put on the restricted list, or he's going to be put somewhere pending the outcome of the investigation. And that's in the NFL, in a place where the players are unionized. But because it's pro wrestling, it's different. And it's very weird to me, because I feel like if this is one of their other businesses, this isn't even a conversation. That guy's put on leave immediately.
Yeah, another thing, too, is like this, in a way, is a fairly easy, potentially, case to solve, because if he doesn't own a gun, then it's like, well, then there's no truth to this. But they can probably find out if he owns a pistol. If he owns a pistol, that's really bad for him. I mean, because, if he was just like, hey, Tony, like, obviously, this didn't happen. I don't own a gun. Like, I'm guessing he probably does, and he was probably found with it either on his person or in his home.
In his car, maybe.
In his car, yeah. I don't know if he was like pulled over, Because otherwise, there's no other way. Like, somebody should be seen a gun, you know, if you're driving next to them. So, yeah, this looks really bad. Because I haven't heard anything like that. Like, Cash could have just came out and said, like, hey, I don't own a gun. Like, but he hasn't released anything to that effect.
No. And you know, I go back to, like, the NBA. And granted, Ja Morant was one of the top picks in the draft a few years ago as a younger kid. He's had multiple instances of where, like, he's been, you know, flashing guns on Instagram and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get charged with anything, to my knowledge. Like, he was dancing with a gun on Instagram in an Instagram story. Ja Morant was. And, again, he has a long history of doing stupid things and whatnot. Like, it's not – I'm not – he deserves to be suspended. However, the NBA suspended him for 25 games.
Oh, interesting.
And, like, he never actually assaulted anybody.
Right?
He was never
yeah.
charged with assault. He was just on Instagram dancing around with guns. And it's not a great look. And he's had, you know, I think multiple chances where they've told him not to do it. But he's suspended for what amounts to almost a third of their season for that. And was never actually arrested and charged with anything, to my knowledge. So... You know, it's something, but it seems like AEW is going to do nothing. Maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, at least at this point, as we are discussing this, it doesn't seem like they're going to do anything. It seems like they're planning on moving ahead with the match as planned and as if nothing happened.
Do you think that, and maybe like in Tony's justifying it in his mind, maybe do you think they have the match, the Bucks win, I'm assuming, and then you send Cash away? Like, he's just like, well, he tried to justify it like that, you know, like, oh, it's this big show and the fans would be, you know, missing out on this.
Maybe.
I gotta deliver it, and then he can serve his punishment. Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Not saying
I don't
that's
know.
Right, because the other thought
it's
too.
It's possible though, because look, that's
yeah.
happened in wrestling before too. I think where. You know, guy, like back before the wellness policy and things of that nature, like it was back in the 90s, but guys would fail a drug test, and then if they had a title, you know, they would drop it before they left. Before they went to go serve their suspension, they would, if they were the Intercontinental Champion, they'd have to lose it before they go. Shawn Michaels, of course, didn't, just took the belt home with him when he failed his drug test. It's what led to the ladder match. But even like in 10, you know, 10, 15 years ago, after the Benoit thing, when they were really pushing things in the wellness policy, you could kind of tell. I think there were stories where, like, a guy loses his title randomly, loses whatever. He loses the U.S. title randomly on Raw, and people are like, wow, we didn't see this coming. And then Tuesday it's announced, oh, he's been suspended for 30 days. So it's not completely uncommon, I think, for a promoter to do exactly what you said. We've got this match advertised. We're going to deliver the advertised match, and then we're going to suspend, put on leave, do whatever we're going to do.
I think, and I believe they did that with Roman Reigns as well, right? He failed a test, and then they had him drop the title.
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah.
RVD, same thing when he had the title. So maybe Tony is trying to justify it in that sense. Like, you know, we'll get the belts off FTR, and then he's sent home until we figure this thing out. But those are victimless crimes, what Roman and RVD did. I think RVD was driving under, which is not good.
Yeah, he was, yes.
Yeah, so but I would still say, you know, threatening somebody with a gun is a far more serious charge than most wrestlers who, you know, fail a wellness test.
Yeah, I think so too. But we'll see. I mean, as of right now, nothing's happened yet. But it's another thing that Tony has to deal with here. It seems like backstage, his company is completely out of control. You've got, you know, the Punk stuff. There seems to be a Punk story every single week. And I know there's people that hate Punk, and they're going to, you know, again, dwell on every single thing the guy does. There's people that, you know, there's stories about, you know, I guess, let's just go with what we saw on TV last week when it comes to Dynamite. Before we get to calls and emails, which we will go to in a second.
Yeah.
I promise. Do you think I am overstating it when I say that last week's Dynamite, which from what I understand did okay as far as ratings go, was one of the worst shows that they may have produced in their four plus year history? There was so much on that show that made absolutely zero sense.
Bottom five. Yeah.
That has to be, right?
And that Texas Chainsaw thing is bottom three dumbest things they've ever done, if not the dumbest.
Guess what? And I think Tony defended that by going, well, you know, they gave us a check, and we gave the check to charity.
Ugh.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Good for you. Yeah.
I want to know, what did they pay? What did the Texas Chainsaw video game pay? Okay. Mm-hmm. Whatever it was. That was 25 grand. I don't know, 50 grand?
I think it's 100 is the rumor.
100 grand. Okay, 100 grand. 100 grand. It's a lot of money. 100 grand's a lot of money. The Khan family is worth like 12 billion.
Yep.
Keep it off the show.
Keep
it off the show and say, the Khan family has made a donation to the I forget the charity they were using. I know it was to Maui and the fires. I forget if there was a specific charity, but just write the check. It's 100 grand. 100 grand is a lot of money to me. It's a lot of money to you. To a guy worth $12 billion, it's like, I don't know, it's like giving a guy, you know, $2 in the street to go get a coffee. Like, we're not talking about a lot of money here.
And they didn't, and yeah, we can jump to callers, whatever, but like, they didn't have to make it that stupid, too. They don't have to say, hey, Leatherface actually exists in this world. Okay, well, then the cops should go and shoot him because he's a killer who has murdered dozens of people. Like, that was the most insulting, dumbest thing they have ever done. And it's, like, you can't, like, say, like, defend it in any form because, like, WWE does, like, the Three Stooges, which was idiotic. They brought in the Muppets, and Muppets are cute, but that was stupid. You can't say, like, these fictional worlds exist because it doesn't make any sense. Like, how did Leatherface get there? He just drove? It's a 50-year-old film. Like, Leatherface should be, like, 80.
I just did the math here. I want to draw a quick equivalency, okay? If you have $12 billion, okay,
mm-hmm.
and you wrote out a check for $100,000,
man,
it's the same as if somebody who is worth $10,000 wrote out a check for 8 cents.
Jeez.
Like, that's – if you have a net worth of $1 million, which is a lot of money. It's like giving somebody $8.
That's insane.
And I know that Shad Khan's not, you know, that $12 million is not liquid cash, you know, but still, we're not talking like, so I had to, Tony is defending it by saying I had to completely ruin a segment on my television show because they were cutting a check to a charity that I could have easily just cut myself.
Yeah. Like, my hands are tied. Like, no, they really weren't. I mean, didn't he say the Cody Vader was like six figures or something? Like, he funded thing. Oh, what a terrible episode. I know people have been saying this, but it felt like WCW 2000 when Vince Russo took over. Oh, sorry, not supposed to say his name.
No, that's fine. I actually was comparing it to some Vince Russo TNA shows. I know.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like especially... Oh, I just want to bring this up. We'll get the phone calls, I promise. But I wanted to bring this up really quick because this really bothered me, okay? Chris Jericho turned babyface, I think, on the show last Wednesday by agreeing to join the Don Callis family and then only not agreeing to join after he saw that Don made a painting that mocked Jericho because he thought Jericho wasn't going to join.
Yeah,
that is how Chris Jericho... I'm using air quotes here, turned babyface by agreeing to go with the heels and then only not agreeing to go with the heels when he found out they didn't really want him.
they rejected him. And that's...
Now he's a babyface.
That makes
no sense whatsoever.
No. It's like, you're lost, Jericho. You suck. Like, I don't care. I don't care that they don't like you. You're a bad person. So, I don't. Why should I like you? Because you didn't get to join Don Callis.
I know. Okay.
Oh man, this is about the most worked up I've been about AEW in a long time, and it's
was
not
just
a good time
such
for
a
it.
Bad show.
Like, I don't want to buy the pay-per-view.
No,
I will.
I'll be honest with you. I've liked Collision. I didn't even think Collision was that great over the weekend.
Yeah.
Collision was okay, but like...
It didn't insult my intelligence.
The opening segment, I thought, with Punk and Joe was kind of dumb.
I kind of like that.
I just didn't... I didn't like the fact that it was very clear almost immediately that it was Punk. And everybody was pretending like they didn't know it was CM Punk.
Yeah. That's fair. That's fair.
You know what? I read something today which I found interesting. So you saw the Edge speech from SmackDown last week.
I read about it.
You know of it.
Yeah.
So somebody wrote today, I think it was on Twitter, that Punk has laid breadcrumbs in the past in AEW. I forget what it was. He did something with Danielson, like when Danielson was going to return. And
on his shoes, yeah.
Yeah, and alluded to it. And then he did something with Adam Cole. I think he put like AC on his tights or something like that before Cole debuted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody brought up Golden Vampire. Well, Vampire, Edge. Edge was originally part of the Brood. Golden, when Edge and Christian were the Conquistadors.
Conquistadors, yeah.
They wore the golden outfit. So somebody was like, is this Punk laying breadcrumbs? Because him and Edge are buddies, I believe.
Oh, interesting.
So
FTR is good friends with Edge.
Yes. So somebody was like, is that him laying breadcrumbs of like, hey, his contract is up soon, and he's going to be on Collision when it is? who knows? I mean, if that were to happen and Edge were to debut in AEW, I think it's pretty clear, like you said, between the relationship with FDR, the relationship with Punk, he'd end up on Collision and not Dynamite, I would assume. I know he's 50 years old, but he is a star. Is he someone that AEW could use? Because I think they could, especially on a show that is kind of starving for some star power.
I think they need him or somebody of that. Yeah, especially too, like, you know, the second biggest act is FTR on that show, and they could be gone.
They could be gone. Yeah.
Like, what? I don't think Dax Harwood means much on his own, unfortunately for him. Edge would be great for that show, I think. Even if in a part-time capacity.
I think it would be part-time, right? Because he's been part-time with WWE. But still, I mean, really, with the exception of Punk, as much as I've enjoyed the show, with the exception of Punk, there's not a lot of star power on that show.
No. It's really badly lacking. I like what they're doing, like trying to boost up some people, like Big Bill and whatnot, Ricky Starks. But, they need another name or two in there.
And I like how the show feels different, too. I like how it feels different than Dynamite. And,
yeah.
You know, again, it's paced, I think, more along the lines of what I enjoy. There's plenty of things on Dynamite that I like a lot, but the pacing, I think if you were to compare the show side by side, take the ratings out of it, take everything else out of it, and just go from a structural standpoint, which has been the better show over the last month, I would say that it's been this one. It's been Collision.
Yeah. Well, especially since last week, Dynamite was such a dud. There hasn't been a bad Collision yet. I don't think they've been fine to good.
Yeah, I would agree.
And nothing insulting.
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay, let's go to phone calls, and then we'll get emails later on. We've talked alone long enough. 615, you're up first. What's your name, where are you calling from, and what's on your mind?
Mike and Andrew, good to talk to you guys. Sean, BFP from Murfreesboro, Tennessee again. Good to talk to y'all. How you doing?
Hey, Sean.
Oh, yeah, right on.
How are you?
You guys were talking about a lot of what I'm feeling right now. Oh my goodness. you're venting like you should. I mean, again, you know, I don't want to judge either. Cause again, we don't know every single detail of everything, but yeah, I just don't see if it was me, no matter what, you have a thing pending against Cash Wheeler. To me, it's just like, I don't see how you can do that match. I don't care if it's FTR Young Bucks. I don't care. I mean, yeah, they're going to tear the house down. We get that. We know that. But it's not about the match. It's about doing what the right thing is. And the right thing in that situation would be, like you were saying, you know, at the worst case, suspend him for a little bit. You just can't, like, sorry, Cash. You did this. It's your own fault. You put this on yourself. You need to, we can't have you go there. I mean, you just can't do it. You know, but it's the biggest show in the history, you know, so they're just going to do it because that's what they do. So, yeah, I'm not a fan of that. Even no matter what comes out, I just don't think he should be there regardless of it. You know, the people are trying to say, well, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. No, like you said, he pulled a gun on someone. I mean, you can't give somebody the benefit of the doubt if they pulled a gun on someone. But I want to go back to what you were saying about Jericho because, yeah, that was so bad. Dynamite was an awful show. I agree. I think Dynamite's been pretty rough for a while. I think you guys are kind of being nice to it. I think it's been kind of rough for quite a while, honestly. I think mm-hmm. the with the Jericho stuff has been bad, and then they just we'll do Jericho against Ospreay in basically Ospreay's home country, basically.
Yeah.
And you're supposedly having Jericho as a babyface, and everybody's get the obviously everybody's going to cheer Will Ospreay because they love Will Ospreay, and they should because he's freaking phenomenal.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Ospreay's not going to get booed at Wembley with no way.
So you have this match, which I don't think it's going to. I mean, can Will Ospreay make it a good match? He probably can because he's just that good in the ring. But I really don't want to see Jericho at this point against Will Ospreay. I really don't. What do you guys think? Do you want to see it? I really don't, honestly.
Yeah, I think, well, from what I read, Andrew, it was one of those deals where it's like it was on Ospreay's bucket list to wrestle Jericho. So, I mean, I guess it's fine. I mean, they're gonna do their own thing, and they're going to have fun. But, again, I'd rather see Ospreay on Omega, you know, in round three. I think everybody wanted to see that. I'd rather,
for sure.
You know, there's a bunch of guys I'd rather see Ospreay wrestle than Jericho at this point. But that's, I guess this is, it's almost like, you know, this is Tony, I think, sometimes not being a boss and sometimes just letting the talent do what they want to do. Right, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm at the point where I kind of just want Jericho to go away for a couple months and, like, you know, reinvent himself or come back or do whatever. But it just seems like to me like that's him. Yeah, like it's him using his stroke within the company to be like, yeah, I need a big match. Give me Ospreay. When it's like, it seems that Omega round three, that's the obvious choice. And that would like bring the house down for 80,000 people. And that would be an all time potential classic match. It was right there on the table for them. And Jericho and Ospreay. Yeah, it's probably going to be like a three and a half star match when you could have had the match of the year.
I mean, that to me that should have been the main event. Omega, Ospreay, the blow-off, like that should have been the main event on this show. That's what I felt. Just like, you know, and it's a lost opportunity, just like I felt, you know, months ago that Sami Zayn losing to Roman Reigns in Montreal was a lost opportunity. Like, it feels like you have opportunities here for a big moment, a memorable, that 20 years from now, Andrew, people that are doing a show like you and I would be talking about Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay at Wembley. And just like we talk about Austin beating Michaels for the title, people would be talking about Sami Zayn beating Roman Reigns the way that we still talk about, you know, Goldberg beating Hogan for the title or whatever. But instead, you know, it just feels like lost opportunities.
What match is Omega even in? Like, it's not even like, I could think of it if I sat down for a bit, but
so
Omega.
He's doing – it's him, Hangman, and Ibushi are going against Takeshita. Takeshita and Jay White Juice. Like, really? That's what we're doing?
Oh, man. That's – okay. I honestly don't think I could have come up with that, even though I've been watching. That's not good.
They don't need a six-man. We don't need all these random six-man matches. Like, come on, Tony. This is your biggest show one of the biggest shows ever. And you're going to have Omega in a freaking six-man. And with freaking Ibushi, who, you know, is great, but he looks out of shape. He doesn't look like he once did. And Hangman, who just feels lost right now. He just doesn't feel like he's not – and then Takeshita, just do Omega Takeshita. Like, people wanted that. Just do that. Why are we doing a six-man? Why?
Like he's just trying to cram everybody on the show. Because I'm looking here. There's 9 advertised matches. There's 3 singles matches of the 9.
Oh, yeah. And then there's what Stadium Stampede? Is that the other one? It's like 4-on-4, 5-on-5 or something?
That's a big one with a bunch of guys that haven't been announced yet. There's a six-man. There's the tag team coffin match with Sting and Darby against Fox and Strickland. There's a 4-way for the women's title. FTR and the Bucks is a tag team. Aussie Open versus MJF and Cole is a tag team. The only singles matches on the show are Ospreay, Jericho, Punk, Joe, and MJF and Cole.
MJF, Cole. Mm. Yeah. Mm. This is just – I mean, this build has been bad to this show, guys. It's just been bad. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, this is not a card. Like, as bad – you know, with WWE's flaws, they could have put a way better card on than what AEW's putting on. It would have been – it wouldn't even been close. You would have been like, oh, man, I'm excited to watch this show. Regardless of whatever WWE's flaws would have been at that time, they would put on a fantastic show. And you'd be like, this is fantastic. And AEW's putting on this, and you're like, I'm not even excited about this. I'm not excited about it. Going back to MJF Cole.
Yeah, I think it's a flaw.
Talk about. Go ahead. Yeah.
I was going to say, I think it's the flaw in, I mean, it is what it is, but it's, and AEW is a little bit different, but I was going to say it's the same flaw that WWE runs into at WrestleMania, where you put the building on sale, you sell out the tickets before you even announce a match, and with WWE, you don't have to worry about pay-per-view buys because you're getting your money anyway. So you don't feel any pressure to build up a good card where, okay, we need to sell tickets and we need to sell pay-per-views. AEW is a little bit different. They still need to sell pay-per-views. And the tickets were already sold. And I think, you know, Andrew and I were talking about it last week. In Tony's mind, I'm not sure he ever expected this to be a pay-per-view show. I really think he wanted this to be on Max or another streaming service that I don't even think it's another one that Warner Brothers Discovery owns. They own Max. I think he thought that this would be streamed or something. I don't think he was expecting it to be a pay-per-view where they have a pay-per-view scheduled the following week. But here we are. Like, something's felt. I think it's just the nature of the beast at this point, where it's like, look, the 80,000 tickets were sold before he announced a match, really. So it's almost like there's no motivation to make this the biggest card ever because my tickets are sold already. What the hell do I have to do that for?
But then you disappoint the people that are there, though. Like, they get there, and then you're putting on this show that, yeah, the wrestling is going to be – I mean, the wrestling will be, I mean, good. I mean, it's going to be really, really good. I mean, but they don't want a bunch of tag team and six-man matches. They just don't want that. But I think – that. But what I'm saying is, as far as WWE, yes, WrestleMania sold all their tickets already, but – WrestleMania is going to be a great show. Yeah, it might have a dud match, maybe two. But generally, the big stuff is going to be really, really good, and you're going to be like, man, that was really, really fun. I really enjoyed that. But so regardless of what Tony was thinking about what the show was going to be, which I agree with what you were saying on that, but, I mean, Omega Takeshita was right there for the taking. It was just obvious. That's what – if you're not going to do Omega Ospreay, you should do Omega Takeshita.
Yeah.
And you just – now let's put six people together. Let's have a – you know, let's get everybody on the show. Let's have a six-man match. But what I'm saying about MJF Cole, I wanted to go to that just because I wanted to – I mean, I know I talked about it a couple weeks ago, you know, how I haven't liked the build, and I still have not liked the build. The promo in the ring on Dynamite was the one decent thing on the show. It was fine, that because they actually talked about how important the title is. They have not talked at all to me about how important this title is until last week. This is your main title. I think my biggest argument about this whole feud is they have not made this title feel important, and it's like this is the biggest thing on the show. They just want to do their vignettes and act dumb on these vignettes and do all this stupid stuff, and it feels forced. It doesn't feel real. They haven't invested me in the story enough to where I'm like, man, I want to know who turns, because to me, again, Cole pretended he was going to turn last week, because if you're going to turn Cole on MJF,
totally,
you've already kind of, and I don't like Cole turning on MJF, because number one, he's probably going to get with the Kingdom and Roderick Strong, which I'm sorry, like, I like Taven and Bennett. Like, they're fine. They're not big-time stars. Like, I think it hurts Cole by having him associated with all these guys more than it helps him by getting with it doesn't help them getting with him. It hurts him getting with them, in my opinion. It's not going to help by him turning heel. He just turned face. You're going to have him turn heel. He's already – but, you know, thinking about turning heel, you've already seen it, and then he does it. That seems stupid. Again, if MJF turns face, ultimately I think it would be fine because MJF is so good at his craft. I think it would work. But I think this build has been really, really bad. So I wanted to hear what you guys thought about the promo on Dynamite and then the Cole stuff. And are you still thinking it's been a good build? Kind of where you at on the whole thing with the match as a whole?
You know, it's interesting because I almost hope that Cole doesn't turn now because of the fact that they teased it. And I don't know what to make of that. I wish they didn't tease it at all. I wish they just let there be some mystery there, because everyone does expect, Andrew, one of these guys to turn on the other. And I think by teasing either one of them doing it, I mean, I don't think you needed you didn't need to plant the seed that there could be a turn, because everyone's already expecting there to be a turn.
Mm-hmm.
So all you did, I think, on Wednesday is take away some of the potential mystery by teasing the Cole could turn.
Yeah, I did like the part of it where, you know, Cole said something to the effect of, like, I'll do whatever I have to do to win the title. Because then in a couple weeks, you know, in a week, it could be like, well, I told you, like, I was going to do whatever I, you know, needed to do to win the title. And I'm assuming
yeah.
Team up with the the Kingdom. But I'm with you on that. I like the Kingdom wrestlers, and I'm finding Roderick Strong entertaining for the first time in his career right now. But yeah, that just screams like mid-card to me, and been there, done that. And I just don't think we really need another faction in the company. If they do, like, disband four of them first. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yep. Yeah. I just, too many factions. I wanted to hear what you guys thought about the thing about the title feeling important, because until Wednesday, I didn't feel like there was anything talking about how important the title was. I never felt that watching any of these vignettes, any of this stuff. It was just about their so-called friendship, which again, I'm not buying. I've never bought it. Never bought it. It felt forced to me. That was the first time Wednesday feeling, man, they made this title actually feel somewhat important. And that's what I think AEW's main problem, too, is with their title. It never feels that important. Their big title match never feels that big.
Yeah, and I agree with you there. I mean, it's been something where they've been chasing the tag titles now for, what, like a month and a half, 2 months. And that's been their focus. That's what they've talked about. That's what's been important to them. And it's like, oh, yeah, MJF is the world champion here, too. But it was almost not even really acknowledged, except for a couple of times where Cole picked up the belt and MJF got heated about it. There wasn't really a focus on the world title at all. And maybe that's because there was no pay-per-view they were building to. And it's just they've got big gaps between shows, big shows. So it kind of allowed them an opportunity to do that. But I would agree. I think the world title needs to be the biggest thing in the company. It needs to be the biggest focus in the company, and it is now, I guess, with these two. But they spent a month and a half worried about trying to win something else, and I was fine, as I previously said, Andrew, with some of the stuff they were doing, more so than I think other people were, because I just felt that there was a chemistry there between Cole and MJF as a team. But they did, I think, need to put some more focus on the world title, because it almost feels like it was forgotten about for, what, 5-6 weeks there?
Yeah, I think that promo they did, I think there are parts of it that were excellent. Like, I'm not much of a WWE guy, obviously, but sometimes during those big programs, like, they just create moments, and you're like, wow, this feels big and important. And this is one of the very few times I felt for a briefly, like, this feels important, but they should have been doing that for weeks on end, too. Neither here nor there, but I do want to just say, like, how weird is it that all these segments start with, like, hey, like, you know, they're outside Outback Steakhouse, and, like, they're always surprised. So, like, what, MJF, Adam Cole is like, hey, meet me at Outback Steakhouse. And then he's like, what? We're going inside?
That's a good point, yeah.
Like, they've done that, like, five times now, like, meet me at this location, and then, like, they're shocked.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the match, is when they get together, is going to be a fantastic match. I just have not liked the lead up to this. I just have not. I'm sorry. I just haven't. And it's disappointing because, again, I love Cole. I love both of them. But I just haven't. I haven't bought anything they've been selling to me. And that's, I guess, what I want to get invested in the build. I just haven't really gotten invested in it. They haven't really – it's just been too corny for me. It just has. And WWE, like I said – and Andrew, you're saying you're not and I get you. I mean, I watch WWE all the time. I do like it more than AEW, but I mean, they have their flaws that they do. There's things they do that I don't like, and I admit it. There's stuff they do I hate. I'm like, well, why'd you do this? It's stupid. But I just feel like overall WWE just generally again, they've had a way better track record and they've been around a lot longer. I mean, I get all that, but I feel like right now, just in this last year, I just feel like WWE is in a lot better spot. They have bigger stars. They feel bigger. They're telling good stories, some really good stories, where AEW is just not doing that. And AEW is all about, we want to have great wrestling matches. And that's not me. I can get great wrestling anywhere. I don't need it in AEW. I mean, I want it in AEW. Don't get me wrong. But I wanted to talk to you about the four-way for the women's title, which, again, I talked about Greg, but I wanted to hear your guys' thoughts a little bit more on this, too. The build to this match, again, it's been terrible. The women's division's been bad for a long time in a lot of ways. Now, it stinks because there's a lot of good star potential there. I grant you, everybody in this match is really good in different ways. But to get to where they've gotten has just been really bad. I mean, they had Hader got hurt, which I'm excited for the future in the sense of Jamie Hader will come back, and that'll make that, you know, if she gets the title back, and when Thunder Rosa does eventually get back on Collision, like, that'll help Collision out in the women's division for sure, because I think she can do some really good things for it. But the build to this match has been really bad in the sense of, you know, you have Sheeta beat Storm just because, well, it's the 200th episode of Dynamite. We want to have a title change. You've done nothing to build this title change up to make it feel important. Like, Sheeta just randomly wins the title. Like, I like Sheeta. The fans like her, and so they pop for her, and they like her. But does it really make a lot of sense, you know, just to have her win the title for really no reason? And then I feel like either one, whoever wins this title, which it won't be Saraya because she's just been awful since coming into AEW. I hate to say that. I like her as an act. She's been horrible since coming into AEW. Just horrible. She's not going to win. If Britt Baker wins, it's okay in the sense of she's a star, but this last year I have not liked what she's done at all either. I mean, her matches have gotten worse. Her promos have just been kind of, she's not building me into anything. Sheeta can't really, I mean, I think if they kept it on Sheeta, I think that would be okay. That'd be the best case scenario in my opinion. And then with Toni Storm, I think her character is, if she was separate from the Outcast, I think she'd be fine for me because I like some of the doing. I just think the Outcast gimmick is stupid and needs to go away. So what have you thought about the build to all this? And I wanted to leave you here because I know I've been talking for a long time. I love you guys, man. I appreciate you guys just letting me vent because you guys, you know, you have to have a venting outlet, and this is my venting outlet for you guys. But I appreciate what you guys do for the Torch. I appreciate always getting on with you guys. And what you think about all that, and I hope to talk to y'all soon. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Sounds good, John. Thanks for the call, as always. We'll let you vent anytime. the Sheeta thing felt like it was a title change just for the sake of having a title change on the 200th episode of Dynamite. I agree there. Britt's kind of the wild card for me. Because, Andrew, I think Sean's right. Like, her matches have gotten worse. Like, I know Todd and Wade talked about this on The Fix this past weekend. Like, mm-hmm. that... Retire the super kick because it looks.
Oh yeah, it never looked good.
No, and it feels like she's taking a step backwards. So at one point she was the biggest star in that division, and through injury, I mean, Hader was definitely the biggest rising star in that division, and now she got hurt and she's out and kind of leaves a hole there. It almost would have been like if Becky Lynch got hurt, not after she became the man, but if like on the route there she got hurt. And kind of got derailed. So it feels like that they don't really know what to do with the women's division right now. What do you think they do in that match? Do you think Saraya wins just because they're in Wembley and they want to give her a moment and let the place explode? But if they do, I mean, what is she going to do? How long is she going to hold that title for? Like, hopefully not long.
I'm leaning towards Britt Baker wins and then Adam Cole wins and they form a alliance. I think Jason Powell also maybe pitched that as well. So maybe that's kind of where I got that idea from. But I could certainly see that playing out. But agreed, this has been terrible. Like you would imagine like a year ago, you could have just done like a one-on-one match, Saraya, say, versus Britt Baker. But like that has not gone well. For either of them this past year, unfortunately. And, yeah, I mean, Britt Baker used to be one of the most over wrestlers on the show, like top three, top five for a bit, but that is long gone. And, yeah, I can't remember the last time I watched one of her matches and just was like, dang, that was good. Like, she's had some in the company, but it's been a while.
The last one was probably the one, I forget even who it was against. I'm drawing a blank. I think it was on Rampage. The one where she, like, bled a lot, and everybody was like, wow, that was a great match. Who was that against? Was that against Ruby Soho?
She had one with Thunder Rosa where she bled a lot, but
maybe
that
that's what I'm thinking of.
That was Dynamite, I think, like in a...
Wasn't there a big Rampage match that she had that was pretty good? I mean, it was, like, the first
episode,
by the way, the first episode of Rampage was 2 years ago.
Was it really? Oh, man.
Yeah. I'd have to go back and look. I don't remember. But
yeah.
It's been a while since I think you would rate her as the top wrestler in the women's division.
For sure. Yeah. And it's not 100% blame on them because Jamie Hayter was doing a really good job in the injuries, but they still could have You still had months to come up with something better than this.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, let's see. JJ Miami is up next. And then 240, I see you here, but you don't have that you want to be in the queue, in the caller queue on the show. So if you do want to get on the air, just hit number one, and that will let us know. If you don't and you just want to listen, that's fine, too. We don't begrudge you. But if you are the 240 area code and you do want to get on the air, hit the number one. That lets us know you want to be on the show. DJ in Miami has hit the number one. He wants to be on the show next. DJ, what's up? How are you?
How are you guys doing? I guess we can start with what you guys were saying before about Edge. I don't know if you guys also didn't say anything about when JR talked about Edge in the very beginning when he was when Christian's match. Did you?
I didn't even realize that, but you're 100% right. Yep.
Yeah.
So,
that was a lot of
Edge
talk. Yeah.
There was.
Going
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
But going into this, I really do feel like this. If he does come in, I don't want him with Christian right away. I feel like at the end of the day.
I don't want him with Christian at all.
I mean, of course, he's going to. I'd rather him circle around and then be with Christian. But at the end of the day, I really do feel like him going in, maybe he can fight, like, I'm just making an example, like the Black and then go into hopefully. Maybe MJF, but at the end of the day, MJF is not my champion right now because of all this nonsense, but I do see Edge and maybe Punk at the end of the day. I see Edge champion for, let's say, like 6 months maybe or something because we need a good champion right now. I mean, you know, Omega's hurt. You know what I'm saying about Omega, but I don't see – Edge is a good champion. He's a good worker at the end of the day. And then at the end of the day, him circling around – and him forming an alignment with, you know, Christian, him doing, you know, I think that would be perfect at the end of the day for him to retire as just the wing to tag teams. But I would like for him to do, you know, a real heavyweight run and then get the tag teams and then retire and boom. You know what I'm saying? Compared to, like, him, you know, doing this thing and then there was a source and, like, that's going to be stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think with Edge, too, I mean, he's an older guy, but he can still go. Like, he can still have a really good match.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people, Andrew, in AEW, for him to have really good matches with that he's never had matches with before. Like, Edge versus Omega would be fun. We've never seen that. Edge versus Punk, I mean, it was never like a big-time feud in WWE. You could certainly do that again. You know, Edge versus Joe would be fun. They were both stars in different companies at the same time at one point, but never crossed paths, right? Joe was gone from WWE, I think, by the time that Edge came back. So there's a lot of stuff you can do with Edge that would feel like big marquee matches. I agree, even with what DJ said, you could do something with like him and Aleister Black, I think would be fun. And they, again, two big stars that never really crossed paths in WWE. So there's a lot there for Edge to do if he were to go into the company. And obviously he's coming in as a top-level guy. But I think there's a lot of matches that he never had either when they were in WWE or obviously with somebody like Omega, they've never been in the same company. So they've never had that type of match before. And then if you do, you know, go down the road at some point of maybe doing an Edge and Christian tag team one more time, you know, before they both retire from the ring or something, whenever that case may be, maybe you do something like that and you can have a match with the Bucks, just like the Hardys had their match with the Bucks. Like there's opportunities there to do a lot with Edge. I don't know how much he wants to do and how much time he is planning on still wrestling if he were to go to AEW, but there's still a lot there that you could do that I think people would be interested in seeing.
Oh, yeah. I'm very much hoping that he does that and has, like, a good year or two run. I think championship-wise, I think it would depend on how many matches he has in him and if he's only going to, you know, if he's like, well, I only want to do 5 to 10 this year or something. And I don't think you would want to give him the belt right away to have him, you know, if you brought him in, he goes over Adam Cole. I think that would probably rub some people the wrong way. It would look like, you know, when TNA would bring in people and put him over their kind of hometown talent. So I think if you did have him be champ, you'd probably have to wait a little bit, have him a feud with some other stars first. And if he's still like a, you know, wanting to work a heavier schedule potentially, or just a few more matches, then you could do something like that. And then, yeah, maybe wind up with him and Christian teaming a couple more times to go out.
Yeah. Yeah, that would make sense. DJ, what else are you talking about?
I will put this real fast before we go to the next thing.
Yeah.
It would be great for Edge to be old Edge. You know what I'm saying? Or Lita, that's my Edge. You know what I'm saying? Not the whatever Edge, you know. Oh, I have to leave. I have to leave the Judgment Day. I can't. I don't know what to do. What are you saying? There's so much ideas you could have did. That was your, you know what I'm saying? That was your fault. And that was your dropping the ball. But hopefully you go into this fresh, clean. Dude, there's so much you can do. And he has it in him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so I think he can do something. Just hopefully they'll just let him do it. So my next thing is real quick. I know you guys want to go because it's getting late, but the top 30, I asked yesterday about this, but I want to know your pick. It's crazy how Braun Breaker was at number 6. That wasn't cool. I understand, you know, Jungle Boy was where he was, but, you know, people are, like, saying, oh, why is Austin there? Should have been Braun or shaking their fist about that. But I just thought that was funny that he should have at least been number 4 or something, but... You know, I don't know if you guys really look at the list, pay attention to it. What do y'all really think about the list?
Which I don't know, I'm sure which list we're referring to.
30 of the under 30.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
SI, okay. Sports Illustrated, was it? I'll pull it up.
I want to pull it up here, too.
Like people were like this.
Oh, ESPN.
Believe it, and they're like, I can't bring Blonde to number 6 and Austin's number 4 or 3. Where is it so funny that they're shaking their fist about that? And then, but then he's on. It's just funny, and then Jungle Boy's where he is. It's just so funny to me.
Yeah, I mean, just thumbing through it here. Takeshita at number 8, I think, is too. It might be too. Logan Paul at 10 is too low. Considering how good he is.
Liv Morgan at 9. Oh yeah, Logan Paul should be number. 3. Austin Theory is way too high. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have Jack Perry a little bit higher too, to be quite honest with you. He's at 13.
Which is fine. That seems too high.
Jamie Hayter at 19.
Bandito too low, I would say. Jamie's too low.
Deonna Purrazzo's not 30 years old yet? Wow. I feel like she's been around forever.
Yeah. Oh, Tyler Bate. Okay. Yeah. Daniel Garcia. He's only 24? Dang.
Wow. I knew he was under 30. I didn't think he was 24.
My big takeaway would be, Austin Theory should not be top 20.
Yeah, let alone number 3.
Yeah, that's silly.
Yeah, and honestly, I will say this. I think... based on what they're probably going to do with him in the future, Braun Breaker at number 6 is probably too low. He's probably should be top 2 or top 3 because he's probably going to end up being the world champion. Maybe not Reigns' world championship, but I think he holds Rollins' world championship sometime in the next 2 years.
He'll get a huge push sometime.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I hadn't looked at this list before.
I'll take a closer look at it later. But, those are my quick reactions, and I think Andrew's quick reactions here, DJ.
I just thought, I brought that up yesterday, with Greg. I just wanted you guys to see it. I didn't know if you guys paid attention. I just thought it was funny that people were complaining about it, and, people were like, I don't know, So I just thought it was kind of funny to bring that up.
Yeah. I'll take a closer look at it later on, too. I actually did not even know that ESPN did this, but I will definitely probably examine it a little bit more later on tonight.
Okay, my last thing is, can we just really, really fast just pick Wednesday? Pick it just really fast, okay? I don't know what crack he was on or what he was smoking. I really think he was smoking. I don't know. The Chainsaw Massacre thing, okay, buddy. You know what I'm saying? I thought Jeff Jarrett was definitely better than that and definitely has better things to do. The other guy, too, Jay, he has way better things to do than that, too. I can't believe he's there, too, doing that garbage. You know what I'm saying? And then... Adam Page drinking in front of a fake hospital. Okay, you're trying to show your kids to drink or people are drinking from a hospital. That's crazy. Like, that was it wasn't even a hospital. The feelings
yeah.
of boots. Okay. Like, are they trying to build like a robot or something? I don't know. Well, this is weird. What else? It's like, the Sting thing out of nowhere. The Sting. We're gonna have a coffin match. Okay, buddy. What? Out of nowhere? And then it gets the better one. Omega just sitting there. Yeah, I don't care about, you know, what Don did. Yeah, he stabbed you up in the head. Yeah, I don't care. What? I have no emotion. This guy, I hate this guy. He has no emotion. He doesn't care about the business. He says he's hurt. And don't do it. Retire. I don't know, man. Yeah, there's so much going on. And then at the end, this guy just comes out of nowhere and yells, Stampede, who are you talking to, bro? There's people in the ring, out of the ring, everywhere. Who are you talking to? I don't know. Are you talking to the air? I don't understand. What wrestlers are you talking to? It makes no sense. I am so confused. What is going on with this company? What is, you need a new writer. Bring, I don't know.
I think you summed it up pretty well. It was kind of absurd.
Yeah. It was very absurd.
But this is what's stupid about it, of all of it. Then Saturday, they have to do the kangaroo thing. Oh, then I have to go to the back. Like, dude, don't bring that shit stuff in on – like, why would you say that? Like, dude – this is Saturday, bro. Leave that for Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm so confused. Like, something was going on this week.
Something was going on, all right. Unfortunately, it wasn't good television. That's not what was going on.
No. Not, very little of that went on, yeah.
A lot of ridiculousness, but not a lot of good television. Hopefully it's two shows to go before Wembley. I would hope that they improve over the next, you know, couple of days, but
oh man,
DJ, we will see. Hopefully we're not here having the same conversation a week from now.
You guys know who he's talking about for the Stampede? Did they ever announce it? That's what I'm confused. You know, like, who's going to be in the coffin match? I'm confused. They don't, I don't get it.
With the Stadium Stampede, they did not. They've not announced anything. But there's, I think there's three people that still have to be announced.
Correct. Yeah.
Maybe we'll find out Wednesday. Who knows?
I'm just so confused with this. So hopefully Monday we'll talk again and we'll see what's going on.
Hopefully we're all feeling better about it, DJ. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks. Have a great night.
Yeah.
It's got people fired up, Andrew. You were fired up earlier.
I fired up.
DJ was fired up. I mean, it's
just not what I wanted in a promotion.
A lot of stuff to be talking about a week before the biggest show of all time.
Oh, all right. Yeah,
Well, we've already gone almost an hour here, so okay. Let's get to emails quickly. And again, I apologize. I'm going to have to skim some of these emails this week because of the time circumstances. Let's go first to, who is this from? This is from D.
D.
D. Was nitpicking some of the stuff we talked about last week regarding Vince McMahon and his legal situation. Vince didn't use company funds to pay off dominant sexual flings. Have you noticed how the word dominant is used to describe every wrestler? This must be Freudian, he says. Vince used his own money. If he had used company money, he would be in more serious jeopardy, as that would have been directorial fraud. The problem is that at least one of his sex assistants was employed by WWE. Vince, via Jerry McDivitt, paying them off with his own funds causes a major income issue for WWE. The company has a taxable benefit of the money paid because Vince basically settled any sexual harassment abuse liability for the company. This is a benefit. Filing should be made public, plus also the possibility of an action by this assistant should have been signaled to shareholders. So I get, yeah, and I don't really understand all of how the trouble that Vince was in, but this does make sense, right? If she had a claim against Vince, she ought also have a claim against the company. Vince made the settlement personally, but in doing so, absolved the company as well, which is where some of the issues with Vince may be coming into play. Either way, legally, he's in trouble. Again, I'm very pessimistic when it comes to this stuff. I don't expect him to get anything more than a slap in the wrist, Andrew, because that's what people in his position generally get.
Yeah. Good insight, though, for the good context. But, yeah, I'm with you. We'll see. But I have low hopes that he will finally pay for his crimes.
We'll see. Let's see. I'm skimming this as well a little bit more. As far as I brought up, if Vince kept the company private, he may have been okay. He says, as far as if this would be a problem if the company was still privately owned, Vince still wouldn't have been able to use company money to pay off his sex crimes. But he didn't do that anyway. And a final one, I'm not sure if Vince is financially better off by his company having a basically fake stock flotation. If Endeavor buys it, it could have bought the private company for billions, like the UFC, or a public company at a more market-set evaluation. Pretty sure WWE has always been devalued in the stock market because of the Vince sleaze factor. That's a good point.
Very sleazy.
Let's see. What is next? What is next here? Let's go to we got quite a few here, but let's go to Ken. Let's go to Ken. Ken in Nashville has some in-arena thoughts from Dynamite last week. Ken says he went to the show in Nashville. There were some interesting observations watching the show back on DVR. Before they came back to commercial for the Jericho Callis segment on TV, they gave the mic to Callis four or five times, and he couldn't get a word out because everybody was booing. It's a cool way to pass a commercial break in the arena. In the Jeff Jarrett segment, they started fighting in the far end of the stadium. During the commercial, they fought down the hallway behind the empty hard cam side of the arena and came onto the stage after the break. During the commercial, the arena was just dark with an empty ring and everyone sitting down watching the monitors. While it was weird in real time, it was still better than sitting there with nothing happening waiting for the commercial to end. One guy near me tried to start a Where'd They Go chant and a super heavy Southern accent. When the lights went out, my friend was videoing on his phone, which allowed you to see what was going on in the dark. The House of Black pulled the opponents out of the ring and gave a little beating in the dark, which was a nice touch. I always assumed that when lights went out, everyone just laid down. Also, I'd recommend if the lights go out at a show to turn video on your phone. It was like having night vision. The final thing. The Hangman video appeared to be a Vanderbilt Life Flight ambulance pictured below. I'm glad they got Kenny out of Jacksonville by helicopter, apparently, to a great medical facility. As the show went on, I know people were going to be critical of this episode, but the live experience was a lot of fun because we got to see so much crazy stuff. Even if it didn't make the most sense, the live production aspects you don't see on TV are a lot of fun for me. So that was good. I'm glad you had a good time with the show, obviously. Any reaction to that, Andrew?
Mainly just like it pops into my head, but like, why did they pretend that it was a hospital? Why not just say like, hey, I just got back from the hospital, and like,
yeah.
It just looks so phony and stupid. So, I don't know. I mean, whoever directed that, whoever has produced it and around it should have just been like, hey, this clearly doesn't look like a hospital. Let's not do it. It doesn't sound like a hospital. There's no noise. Silly.
A medical facility, as Vince likes to call it.
Yeah, or like cars driving by, nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Okay, Zach in Texas. Well, the news about Cash Wheeler that dropped Friday was certainly a surprise. I just shook my head when I read that it was a road rage incident. I hope he told AEW management about it before Friday. Otherwise, that's a bad look for him. As far as the FTR Bucks match goes, legally he can leave the country because he hasn't been convicted of a felony. The UK will let him in. Obviously, Cash shouldn't have pulled a gun, but this wasn't a DUI or domestic violence. It appears that Tony Khan is proceeding as planned with the match, and given the circumstances, I feel like that's a reasonable decision. We talked about it earlier. And like I said, that's one where, like, again, if it were Matt Riddle that did this and he was going to wrestle a match in Saudi Arabia, I don't know that people would feel the same way.
Yeah, I think you just leave him on. The only reason, yeah, it was like not a giant match. I would assume Tony would, whoever it was, just be like, well, you're not coming with. Like if it was just a person,
yeah, exactly.
Random person, yeah. So Cash is definitely getting some sort of leniency on this one for now.
Yeah, if that were Wheeler Yuta, he's probably staying home.
Oh, yeah, he's getting replaced in that match, yeah.
meanwhile, this is back to Zach. Meanwhile, Cash's buddy CM Punk continues to be out of control. The report that he got in Jack Perry's face about a spot he wanted to do in a promo segment is just further evidence that Punk needs to be checked. Whether or not Perry should have been doing the spot is irrelevant. Well, I don't think it's irrelevant. it's not Punk's job to intervene. Okay, I'm going to finish the paragraph.
Yeah.
Then we'll react.
Yeah.
Kenny and the Bucks often get mocked for being EVPs, but I don't recall a single report in the 4 years of AEW's history of them getting in anyone's face backstage or throwing their weight around or having people removed. The worst thing they did was get their homeboys a job, which is hardly a comparable abuse of power. Punk is not an EVP or a member of management, yet he's acting like one. I know Tony Khan likes Punk, but he needs to politely tell Pepsi Phil that Tony's calling the shots and that Punk needs to rein it in. Okay, quickly, Andrew. You know what? He doesn't have an EVP role, but I think there's something here with Punk that we don't know about. I don't know if he has a small piece or if he's got a deal different than other guys get. I got the impression, even going back to the press conference last year, that he was talking as if he had some sort of managerial role, right?
Yep.
It's never been publicly said, but clearly Tony has empowered Punk to be essentially an EVP of Collision. You know, he's also empowered the Bucks and Omega and Hangman, the Bucks and Omega, to do the same thing on Dynamite. If you have an issue with that, you have an issue with Tony Khan not giving away power that maybe he shouldn't have given away.
Yeah. In this instance, I'm not – some of the things Punk has done has – I think he's gone too far. And it's bad behavior. This one doesn't really bother me.
And if you believe Punk's side, by the way, if you believe Punk's side, he had nothing to do with Hangman being kicked out of the building.
And that one as well, yeah.
But, he said if he knew Hangman was there, again, this is people close to Punk, but according to the people close to Punk, if Punk knew Hangman was there, he would want to talk to him and be like, hey, can we work out a program?
Yeah. that's what it sounds like. Well, Jungle Boy, the story is that I've read is that, like, Shivani told him not to use glass. Somebody else told him not to use glass. They didn't listen, so Punk told him. Like, I think that's completely fine. Like, a locker room veteran is like, hey, don't be an idiot and use actual glass. Like, you're going to get hurt. Like, look what happened to Goldberg. Like,
oh, so I didn't realize that. Okay, but yeah, if that's the case, then I 100%. That sounds to me like it's a veteran doing his job as a leader, or taking his job as a leader seriously. And
Yeah, I mean, Jungle Boy's not going to listen to Shivani. Somebody who's been in the business for 50 years, like, somebody needs to step up and tell him not to. Yeah. No, I'm on Punk's side on that one. I'm not on his side for everything, but that one, I think he was fine.
I get the impression that Punk is trying to provide the EVP level of leadership that he did not think that Kenny and the Bucks were providing on Dynamite when he was there.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like on Collision, he's trying to say, like, look, this is how you do it. This is how you be a locker room leader. Because that's what he was critical of that they were not leaders, that they, you know, they couldn't manage a target and all that other stuff. He seemed to be critical of their leadership / managerial style, and that seems to be what he's, I think, trying to do on Collision. And I agree, you can't ban the head of talent relations from being at the show.
Yeah.
He should not have that power. Great. But again, I'm sure a lot of people in that company would like to have that power. So if Punk was able to dictate whether or not an executive in the company was at a show, yeah, you could say the problem is with Punk. The problem is with Tony, not just telling Punk this isn't how it works, which is not – that has not appeared to have happened yet or at all.
No. I mean, Dynamite has been such a mess that maybe it's not okay to have a little bit more order and having somebody saying, like, yeah, don't do stupid things, like a little more quality control. I don't know if Punk is the perfect guy for that. Obviously, he's not, but somebody needs to do it.
Zach continues here for the good stuff. He says, as AEW fans, we are going to be blessed on Sunday. All in is going to be great. setting aside whatever reservations there might be about the build, this card is insane. Darby, Sting, Swerve, Omega, Ibushi, Hangman, Switchblade, Juice, Takeshita, Ospreay, Jericho, Punk, Joe, Bucks, FTR, BCC, Lucha Brothers, OC, Kingston, Cheetah, Storm, Saraya, Cole, and MJF. The assemblage of talent is ridiculous. Saraya is going to be wrestling in front of 80,000 of her countrymen, including her family, which is something I'm sure she never imagined she'd be able to do again. I'm sure she'll be motivated. There's bound to be surprises. MJF will be cemented as a babyface. I'm so stoked for the show. I just hate that I have to work on Sunday, but I'll watch it when I get off. He has a $5 challenge, which we will get to in a minute, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, it should be a good show, for sure.
This is from a new email from Jason here, a new emailer. I don't believe we've heard from Jason before. He says, hey, guys, how are you? I'm really tired of everyone complaining about the build to All In. It seems every pay-per-view, everyone complains about the build, and then the next day, all the talk is how good of a show it was. I think MJF retains, and at the end, we hear Cult of Personality, and then you're having your main event set up for All Out. Speaking of Punk, a huge fan, and I think it's amazing that one man can give all these podcasts so much content. When he first arrived, he told every – oh, here's where – this is where I think I read it, actually, because I did read this email ahead. When he first arrived, he told everybody that Danielson was coming. He had AC written on his shoes for Adam I think it's his shoes here – for Adam Cole. For Collision this week, he was a Golden Vampire, which I think is for Edge, who with Christian wore gold outfits when they were the Los Conquistadors, and I think the name was the Golden Vampire for when Edge was in the Brood. Love the show. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks for the email. You.
I apologize for using your example here earlier. It was such a good look into the Golden Vampire thing that I actually thought I read it in a story or something like that earlier today. I couldn't remember that I was actually when I read ahead and read Jason's email. So Jason, I think you may be spot on there. I like your detective eye.
Yes, for sure. Although his email was like saying that he's tired of people complaining about All In, and that's all we did for the past hour.
That's true. Hopefully he made it this far.
Hopefully you're still here with us.
To hear his praise. Okay, and then this last one here is Jose from Golden Valley. Not that I care about the whole great match versus story debate that Mike has started on the show, although it's up there as being as annoying as the wrestling being portrayed as a combat sport versus performance art debate. I just find it lame that Mike's beloved demo, the casual fan, has to be put on a pedestal and spoon-fed like they were children. No professional sport bends over backwards to the casual fan. They just roll on with business as usual. That is not true at all, by the way. Why do you think the NFL tried to get Taylor Swift to do the halftime show? Because they want a different audience to tune into the Super Bowl. They're not going to get Springsteen to do it again because 50-year-old guys are already watching the Super Bowl. Everybody's bending over to try to get a new audience in the quote-unquote casual fan.
I vehemently disagree
with that.
Isn't that what every sport does? Just appeal to families and casual fans? And
that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they're trying to do. Also, I find it hilarious that Mike uses a carny con man Al Snow as his counter-argument, as if Al's a good voice of authority. It's very funny to listen to someone like Al be so confident about what he insists is indisputably good wrestling, and then you see him in things like those feuds with Grado and Shira, and you can never take him seriously again. Although I found some comedy in the backstage skit where he breaks Grado's arm as Grado shouts out like he got shot. I'll give Al credit for having Netflix do a documentary on OVW. While watching the trailer, I choked on my Gatorade, the same way Mike does on this show when an OVW talent referred to him as one of the most legendary professional wrestlers ever. He's certainly one of the greatest wrestlers who never had a good match in their entire career. Who is Al Snow?
Yeah, on the trailer, they do say one of his students or somebody is like, yeah, he's one of the most legendary figures. Like, then they show Al Snow.
No.
It's like,
I mean,
I don't know about that one.
The loose definition of legendary.
Very loose,
no
yeah.
offense to Al. This is back to Jose here. He says, I went back and read the Observer issue covering All In, the most underrated AEW talent of all time. Double J was a star in the newsletter in one news. This must be the original All In. In one Newsweek, Jeff Jarrett appeared on WWE TV, sued Anthem for GFW tapes, ran shows with Billy Corgan, and was getting fight going all as he appeared at himself at All In. He also main evented Triple Mania as the mega champion that very same week. He's the greatest. Never to be another, the best ever. The young generation is wasting their time watching 90s New Japan Super Juniors, WCW, ECW, and PWG. They should aspire to be a master chess player like Jeff Jarrett and big sexy Kevin Nash. Hey, if there's one thing Jeff has had, Andrew, it's longevity.
He's been around a long time. Yes.
Okay. That's emails. We took some calls already. Do you know what it is time for now?
Whew.
We roll along here.
I have an inkling.
$5 challenge.
Yeah, that was much better than when we tried to sing it last week, I will say.
Yeah, I totally agree. Okay, let's go. You know what? Let's go to 240, who just put the hand up as we go to the $5 challenge board. I think I know who this is, but why don't you introduce yourself, 240?
Do I need to introduce myself? It's Steve from Bowie, Maryland.
All right.
Steve, how you doing?
I almost, good and yourself, I almost forgot, but I've got an interesting concept for you guys. A five-week series.
Ooh.
A competition between the two of you.
That hasn't gone well for me.
Hopefully it doesn't stray too far from the usual concept of what the $5 challenge is all about. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a category, and they're almost like Family Feud, the top six, the top eight. And you guys go back and forth trying to come up with answers that fit the category without A, getting something wrong, or B, repeating an answer.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I like this. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. The first one has some, I went to a source and found this, and it's a subject of some debate, but excluding WrestleManias, and Andrew, once you hear the topic, I will give you the choice of whether you want to go first or second.
Okay.
Excluding WrestleManias, the top six wrestling shows that had the most tickets distributed.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Oh, no. Oh, man. I'll let Mike go first on that one so I can have time to think.
Okay. Excluding WrestleManias, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
And is tickets distributed? So is it? I guess it doesn't matter.
I chose that word.
I hope I'm not, because there's shows that I know, like the record for the most people in attendance were those WCW New Japan shows in North Korea, but those I don't think were actually tickets sold. okay, non WrestleManias.
Well,
tickets. So I'm gonna have to say that. We got to go with stadium. So Wembley, the SummerSlam 92 in Wembley is definitely up there.
Okay. Okay.
So Mike got that one. Andrew, you're up.
Oh my gosh. I'm already done for, I think. Cause that was the one I wrote down.
And
was the one I was thinking too.
I might as well just give you all the next two. Okay. I will give you the next two because I do have those Korea shows as part of the show.
Oh.
So that's one for you, Andrew.
Oh, okay.
That's one for you, Andrew.
When you said tickets, I was like, I think those people were kind of forced into going to those shows. So I'm not sure if that was actually tickets sold.
Yeah. Not sold. They were forcefully given.
Oh, distributor. Okay. I see what you're saying.
But the thing is, if I didn't include those, the list I found got way too into the weeds of stuff that I didn't even know.
Okay.
Okay. So Andrew, you're still on, and there's three answers left.
I'll say Clash at the Castle.
I was gonna say it's got to be those stadium shows.
Yeah, I feel that was like 60K or something.
No.
Dang it. Oh, then I'm really screwed.
So.
Wow. That would have been one of my guesses too.
Maybe this. Hold on. Let me just. I might have to void this entire.
I'm trying to think. I thought Clash of the Castle was up over 60.
Okay. WrestleTix. Okay, no, I'm so good. WrestleTix reported 62,005, and my list has higher than that. So, okay, dang. So this one was pretty quick, and for the sake of this show, that's not a bad idea. So, Mike, you got a half a point. For the full point, okay. give me another answer on the list.
The WWE did at the cricket stadium in Australia with was that the greatest Royal Rumble ever, or was that Super Showdown? There was two of them. I think the greatest Royal Rumble ever was a Saudi show. So I think it was called Super Showdown. I remember it was Triple H versus Undertaker. That was the main event.
Yeah.
Was it a cricket stadium?
It was.
Australia.
You got it.
Dang it.
So Mike takes the 1-0 lead. I can't believe y'all left out this Sunday, All In.
Oh, I was wondering if that one counted. Dang it.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
I thought of it, and I'm like,
we somehow left out the show that we've been talking about for an hour and a half.
And the last one is, I mean, there are a boatload of 70s and 80s shows from the Tokyo Dome, from New Japan back in the day.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
And the one that topped the list, and it was the last one out of these top six, was in 1998, 70,000 people for Antonio Inoki's retirement match.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yes. I remember that being a big deal at the time. Yeah.
But I looked at the list and I realized none of these are in North America. You have to go...
There was a
show back in the 90s at Toronto's old exhibition stadium where the Blue Jays used to play.
Yes, the big event, right? Is that what it was called?
The big event, yes, sir.
Yes, I remember seeing, I've seen clips of that.
Hal Orndorff, right? Hogan?
Yeah. Hogan and Orndorff, I think, yep.
That's it. And then after that, there was a Royal Rumble at the Alamo Dome.
That was the one I was trying to think of.
Oh, the one with the one in the 90s with Sean and Sid? 97, probably?
I think they came back a couple of years ago to the Alamo Dome.
I think it was this past year, I think, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But I think, what was it? It must have been 97. Right. I think it was 97.
It was 97. It was Sid versus Sean for the title.
Yeah, Sid versus Sean, and then like a month later, Sean lost his smile.
Yeah, it happened. Yeah.
We all lose our smile.
I will hasten my exit today and come up with another category for next week with Mike leading 1-0.
All right, sounds good, Steve. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, take care.
Thanks, you too.
I like that. All right, let's go to... go to Jose's. We will make a return to the mainstream for this week and go back to music next week. Also, Mike, put some effort into these. This is the $5 challenge. Not that I can't think of anything, so let's just go with the challenge.
He's really going for you tonight. He kind of switches back and forth who he targets, but it's very Mike-heavy tonight.
Seriously. Okay. Well, the problem is, I mean, it's not just the I can't think of anything, so let's just go with the challenge. Some of these questions, I mean, seriously, I got nothing but a guess here. Either.
Like, who's saying what song? Like a 1994 pay-per-view?
Chris Jericho claims he auditioned for but did not get the gig as the host of what popular television show?
Price is Right, maybe? Total guess.
I thought he said he auditioned for the host of that. What was the game show that Howie Mandel had?
Deal or No Deal.
But I think I've heard him say that before.
Okay, I like that more.
All right, we'll go Deal or No Deal. That show was interesting. Okay, number two. DDP made a guest appearance on what sci-fi series in 2017? I'm not sure I could name a sci-fi series for you, Andrew. Let alone one that was on the air in 2017.
Westworld?
Sure.
It's not it, but it's the only sci-fi show I can think of from that time.
Number three, what WWE diva made two appearances on the NBC series Chuck? Chuck, when was Chuck on the air? That was on the air a while ago, right?
Yeah, I would say like a Stacey Keibler era.
Yeah, that's, yeah, 07 to 2012. So, yeah.
Oh, that might be post-Stacey, actually, then. Okay.
Would it have been?
I think she was probably done by then.
By 07, she probably was, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's what, like Candice Michelle, Tori Wilson.
Tori Wilson, I bet.
Tori Wilson, I like that.
Tori Wilson, okay, number four. Number four, what former hardcore champion made two guest appearances on the CBS drama NCS Los Angeles? Former hardcore champion.
Oh, my God.
It was on NCIS Los Angeles twice, apparently.
Hardcore champ.
The hardcore champs I can remember are Mick Foley.
Crash Holly.
Crash Holly, true, yeah. Bob Holly, I think.
Bob Holly.
Didn't Our Kurgan truth. Have it at one point?
Kurgan, probably. Maybe, yeah, he might have had it. Al Snow?
I wonder if it is Kurgan. Because it was on a NCIS show. I mean, he could have definitely played, like, the bad guy or something like that.
Yeah.
Or the bad guy's bodyguard.
He was an actor. He appeared, yeah. Okay.
I wonder who Kurgan. Who would have thought we would have had a Kurgan reference on this show, even if it's wrong. I'm just glad we were able to say his name.
Silva? Kurgan and Silva?
I think so, yeah. Number five, Jeff Jarrett and Melinda Stolpe were presenters at the 2005 Spike TV Video Game Awards for Most Addictive Game. What was the winner of that award? 2005 Most Addictive Game.
I think like God of War came up that year, but I don't know if that's considered addictive usually.
Yeah, I mean, I would have said like a GTA or a Call of Duty game probably.
Yeah, maybe.
Most addictive game would also be one of the most highest selling games, I would assume.
Yeah, I think though, I play too many video games, so I think like San Andreas was already out by that point, so I don't think it's probably GTA. It could be like I don't think Call of Duty became really big until a couple of years after that. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe God of War? I don't know. I feel that it was around that era.
All right. We're going to go for it. God of War. Okay. Number one. Jericho claims he auditioned for but did not get the gig as a host of what popular TV show? Our answer was Deal or No Deal. We are incorrect. The correct answer was America's Funniest Home Videos.
Starring a Canadian.
True. Number two, DDP made a guest appearance on what sci-fi series in 2017? Our answer was Westworld. The correct answer was Superstition.
Huh. Didn't know that was a show.
Neither did I. WWE Diva made two guest appearances in the NBC series Chuck. We guessed Tori Wilson. Andrew actually said this. Stacey Keibler.
What? She,
was the correct answer.
I'm not sleeping tonight now.
What former hardcore champion made two guest appearances on CBS drama NCS Los Angeles? Our guest was Kurgan. Correct answer was Shane McMahon.
She's described as a
former.
That's how you would describe Shane McMahon?
Former hardcore champion. And then Jeff Jarrett presented the 2005 Spike TV Video Game Award for the Most Addictive Game. What was the winner? We had God of War. The correct answer was World of Warcraft.
Oh, should have known.
Zero for
Spike. Oh, that stings. That never gets easier.
It never does. Jose, put us down this week. Okay. All right, on to Zach in Texas. Time for the Price is Right. That's right. Zach gives us a bunch of items on eBay, and we have to guess the price here between Andrew and I, and it's just like the Price is Right. All right. Right now the score stands 4-1.
4-0, 4-0-1. We tied.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I should have known that. I'm undefeated. I should keep track.
I wrote it down.
Item number one, Andrew. Item number one. A ring worn by Kosis Max.
Oh.
Ring worn.
That's fun. That's a fun one.
I'm going to guess first, because I'll guess first three times. $250.
I'm going to take the over. I'm going to guess it's like in $600.
Right, going over. Number two, a WWF vintage Undertaker early 90s foam finger.
I reckon that's early 90s. Okay, that's pretty old. That's going to be
$125. $125. Okay. I mean, what did that probably retail for? Probably like $15?
Probably then. Although 30 years ago, probably $4. Inflation would be like 15. Yeah.
I'm going to take the under. I do think you're probably right that it's probably around 100, but I'm going to take the under.
Interesting. Okay.
Number three, a WCW/NWO Hulk Hogan fridge magnet. Ooh, a fridge magnet.
Oh, I could use one of those.
Hulk Hogan NWO fridge magnet. I got to say, this is probably $11.
I will take the under. I'm going to guess it's like 7.
Okay. Number four. A 3-pack WWF Coliseum video light switch stickers. Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels, and The Undertaker.
Oh, that's random. Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, that's a weird item.
I feel that could go either way, like 30 cents or $100. I'll go $40.
$40, okay. Light switch is just stickers.
Yeah, what would you want that? You go under, okay.
I got to go under on that. And then the last item, 35-piece WWE memorabilia lot, which includes, Andrew, pay attention because this is long.
Okay.
A WrestleMania 20 limited edition DVD, 2 classy Freddie Blassie shirts, 1 Wade Barrett shirt, 3 unidentified shirts, 2 William Regal shirts, 3 Bad News Barrett magnets, 3 Neville action figures, a Survivor Series 2007 DVD, a WWF Hardcore Championship VHS, a John Cena My Life DVD, the World's Greatest Tag Teams DVD, a Casey King t-shirt, SmackDown vs. Raw PS3 game from 2011, WWE All-Stars game for Nintendo Wii, Shawn Michaels From the Vault DVD, a Matt Hardy poster, a Wade Barrett poster, a Sunny poster, 2 AJ Styles necklaces, a Hulk Hogan poster, a WWF The Magazine with Yokozuna on the cover, 4 TV guides featuring Mankind, The Rock, The Undertaker, and Triple H all on the covers. Sounds like someone emptied out their closet.
So somebody was like a big fan of Sunny in like 1997, and then they were a big fan of Wade Barrett in about 2011?
I'm not going to read all those items again because we don't have enough time left in the show, but that's a lot of crap. Oh,
that's a lot of crap. No offense to whoever's selling it, but that's a lot of crap.
$150.
I'll take the over.
The over, okay. Now, the idea here is, of course, that we have to be the closest without going over. That's how we get the points. So, number one, the ring-worn psychosis mask. I placed a bid of $250. Andrew took the over on that amount. The correct answer was $325. So Andrew gets the points.
I got one.
It's up 1-0. Item number two, WWF vintage Undertaker early 90s foam finger. Andrew put in a bid of $125. I took the under. The actual retail price, $190.93. Andrew is two for two here.
I'm shaking right now.
Okay. A WCW NWO Hulk Hogan refrigerator magnet. I put in a bid of $11. Andrew took the under. The actual retail price on eBay is $38. So it's okay. Now 2-1. Andrew leads 2-1.
So got two more chances.
Two items left. A 3-pack WCW Coliseum Video light switch stickers. Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels, and The Undertaker. Andrew bid $40. I took the under. The actual retail price, $29.95. It is 2-2.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sweating.
The last item, that big lot of a bunch of memorabilia. I bid $150. Andrew's bid took the over on that bid. Actual retail price, $49.99.
No!
We're both over. No points awarded. We tie again for a second straight week.
Oh, 4-2 I am. So you're 4-0-2.
Tie for a second straight week.
Sorry, listeners. They're probably going, I don't like ties.
No ties or half points allowed, according to some, but there are ties, unfortunately.
Our ties, unfortunately.
Andrew, that's all we have. That's the emails, that's the calls, that's everything, unless you have something else for us.
You know, so this may shock you, but I do have one more $5 challenge.
No way.
It's real.
Okay.
As it gets. All right. This one's I don't want to say in honor, so in dishonor of Cash Wheeler. This is wrestlers doing bad things.
I like this. Okay.
Which, it's kind of sad because I looked up wrestlers getting arrested, and there's a lot you cannot talk about that would not be good. So
yeah, there's probably too many of them, too.
And so hopefully these are more lighthearted crimes, I guess. Wrestlers doing bad things, number one. In 2007, which former two-time WCW TV champion was arrested as part of a 26-person gambling sting?
I'm sorry, say that one more time on the date. It cut out a little bit.
2007, which former two-time champ was arrested as part of a 26-person gambling sting?
Ooh, 2007, that's... I actually remember this happening. Because it happened not long. I think it was either before or after the Benoit thing. Maybe right before. I remember the story.
Yeah, Benoit was either 2006 or 2008. I can't remember.
I don't remember exactly.
Yeah.
I think it was Disco. My memory says it was Disco.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Because I think at the time, around that time that this happened, Conan had a podcast. It was like one of the first probably wrestling podcasts around, honestly.
Yeah.
And I think he was talking about it or making fun of him about it.
Well, that's funny.
Disco may have even been on the show.
It
was like Keeping It Real or something like that.
Yeah, he's on the show still now. I forget what it's called. But yeah. He's a regular co-host.
Yeah.
Question number two. This former WCW heavyweight champion was arrested twice within a year. Once for indecent exposure and once for punching a man.
I just like the way you phrase that. Once for indecent exposure and once for punching a man. Was it a world champion?
Former heavyweight champion, yes.
Really? The only one I can remember from a decent exposure standpoint was Hoovy in Australia. But he wasn't a former world champion or heavyweight champion. But he got naked and ran through a hotel lobby. Let's see. Also arrested for indecent exposure. I can't think of anybody being arrested for indecent exposure. Other than Hoovy. But WCW heavyweight champion. I have to guess now. What former WCW heavyweight champion would have been arrested for indecent exposure? Who's that? Wouldn't have been Goldberg would have been something I would have remembered. Hogan would have been something I would have remembered. Maybe it's further back. Okay. I don't know that this has happened, but I'm going to say that, Andrew, you're trying to swerve me here a little bit, and it's David Arquette.
Okay.
David Arquette has had some weird times in his life.
He's a strange man. This former WCW, WWE, and TNA wrestler was arrested at a Thunder taping for punching a man in the neck.
It's very specific. In the neck, not just anywhere.
I've never seen someone get punched in the neck.
That's an odd place to punch somebody.
That is an odd place to somebody punch, yeah.
It is an odd place to punch someone. I can see you punching somebody in the face, in the head.
This is a neck punch.
It was TNA, WWE, and WCW?
Correct.
TNA, WWE, WCW. There's not a lot of... I don't know that there's much crossover there. I mean, Kevin Nash was in all three. Hall was in all three. Jarrett was in all three. I don't know how many guys were actually in all three. Sean Waltman was in all three.
Kind of fun to think of going through them, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm starting with. It's like, all right, who was in all three companies, you know?
Right.
Booker T was in all three. I'm going to feel, I'm punching somebody in the neck at a Thunder taping.
I'd never heard of this one, or I'd forgotten it, but yeah.
This feels like was Luger ever in TNA? Briefly, I think he was. He may have been in all three. I'm gonna say Scott Hall. I think, you know, Scott Hall may have had too much, may have been overserved and did something stupid.
Punch the man in the neck. All right.
Punch the man in the neck.
I have a feeling you might get this one. This wrestler was arrested after getting high on PCP in Australia, leaving his hotel room naked and and threatening to kill WCW management.
That was Hoovy. I remember that. I remember that because do you remember what happened in the fallout of that?
No.
WCW, this is like, I remember the story. The peak WCW. When they released the press release that they had fired Hoovy for running through a hotel naked and assaulting police officers in Australia.
Yeah.
They made the press release, but in, I'm going to have to look it up here. In the release wrote that they had, in the press release, they had released Salvador Guerrero for his actions in Australia. Well, that's Chavo's name.
Oh,
Chavo's real. So they put the wrong name in the press release, announcing that they were firing Hoovy. And I remember in an interview at one point hearing a story where Chavo was like, I got a call from Eddie who was like, what did you do? Like, what happened to Chavo? Like, he's high on PCP running through a hotel naked. But it was actually Hoovy. They released the wrong name, jeez, which is just peak WCW.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we released the Mexican guy. Oh, okay. Yeah, this guy. It must be this guy.
Oh, man.
But, yes, I'm going to go with Hoovy now.
Going with Hoovy. Last question. Why was Chris Jericho arrested in 2010?
Chris Jericho. You know what's funny, too? I vaguely remember this. I think he was part of WWE at the time. I think it was a DUI. I think it was a DUI, and he was with other wrestlers too. I don't remember who, the Hardys, but he was with like a group of wrestlers when it happened. I think he was the only one arrested, probably because he was driving, but there were others like in the car or something.
All right. Five questions, five answers. Are you locked in?
Oh, I got to come up with a locked in thought. I am going to be locked in 2 seconds. Hold on. I have to figure out which one we're going to lock in with this.
Gold Dust! Oh, that's
now
a fun
we're
one.
Locked in. Now we're locked in.
All right. Maybe this is good. You just don't you don't know all these awful crimes that have happened because you got two.
Okay. But
yeah. Maybe if you knew all five.
That seems to be my average week to week. I'm pretty much like two and a half. That's kind of my sweet spot.
Looks like I gave you a 2.16 last week.
Yes.
So two is the sweet spot. Yeah, which former two-time WCW champion was arrested as part of a gambling thing? You guessed Disco Inferno. That is 1,000% correct. It was Disco.
Whoa, Disco Fever.
This former WCW heavyweight champion was arrested twice within a year, once for indecent exposure and once for punching a man. You guessed David Arquette.
Not in the neck.
Not in the neck. It was the Big Show.
No way, really?
However, he was found not guilty on both accounts.
I don't remember that at all. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. Lack of evidence, I think, on the first one or something. And, yeah, I think it was a fan who had it coming, maybe. I didn't read the full thing, so maybe.
Wow, that's interesting.
Number three, this former WCW, WWE, and TNA wrestler was arrested at a Thunder taping for punching a man in the neck. You guessed Scott Hall, which is a very good guess. It was Buff Bagwell.
Buff?
Yeah.
Punch
kind of
trick, huh?
Yeah, he was probably on like five episodes of TNA, so it's a little tricky one.
I also don't think Buff. I mean, that just surprises me that Buff would have punched anybody because Buff doesn't seem like he's not exactly doesn't have the reputation for being like the big tough guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he went after. He was a bully to Shane Helms. He went after him, and I think Helms took him down or something, and that's I think led to Buff getting fired.
That's how Buff got fired from WWE. Helms hit him,
yeah.
Hit him with a frozen water bottle.
Oh, that's right.
And, like, opened up his head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gashed his head wide open, yeah.
Man, that cost him millions over the course of what could have been a career.
Oh, yeah. Easily, yeah, I think so.
This wrestler was arrested after getting high on PCP in Australia, leaving his hotel room naked and threatening to kill WCW management. You guessed Hoobie Juice. It was the lovable Hoobie Juice Guerrero.
Another funny story, I think, I think it was an interview with Chavo where he told the story. He was like, when the whole thing happened, it was witnessed by people, and mm-hmm. Hoovy did the misdirection spot where like the cop, one of the cops grabbed him and was like kind of holding his arms, and his mm-hmm. partner went to go like spray him with pepper spray, but Hoovy ducked and he sprayed his partner with pepper spray.
Oh man, that's like a movie, just like a naked guy running around trying to get pepper sprayed.
I just picture this happening, right? But I remember, it was an interview at some point where somebody was talking about that whole, and they were like, yeah, I saw the whole thing, and he did the misdirection spot. Like, his the cop went to go spray his movie, but he ducked, and he sprayed his partner.
That's kind of amazing.
Oh, yeah. I wish I saw it.
Last one, why was Chris Jericho arrested in 2010, you guessed a DUI. Not that serious. It was public intoxication at a gas station in Kentucky.
All right. Well.
You could have just guessed public intoxication. I didn't need Kentucky.
But you didn't need Kentucky.
I'm sorry you guessed Massachusetts.
He was with other people, though, wasn't he? I assume?
I don't know. I just looked at like the mugshot and a little bit of it.
All right. Well, Andrew, That's all I have. Is there anything else, or are we done for the evening?
I think we're done for the evening. I got a burrito with my name on it in the fridge.
Oh, there you go. I have a chicken parm calzone with my name on it.
Oh, we're eating well late tonight.
At least tonight, yeah, we are. Where else can people find you? World Wide Web.
On the World Wide Web. Check out the other podcasts I'm on. The Unexpected Storytelling Podcast, brand new acted out horror comedy stories. There's like 54 episodes. We're working on some new ones. Unexpected Storytelling Podcast.
I want to thank Al Gore for inventing the internet, for making this podcast possible. You can email the show, alleadaftershow@gmail.com. You can also call us next week if you'd like to. 9 p.m. Eastern time is when we start. 515-605-9345 is the number for that. But that's it for this week's edition of the All Elite After Show. Thanks again for listening and downloading if you did it that way, and calling if you did it that way, and emailing if you did that too. We appreciate it all. Until next week, for Andrew, I'm Mike. We'll talk to you then. Bye.